Let's go, 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 White Sox. Chicago's proud of you.
Welcome back to The Download here on WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. Well, the Chicago White Sox campaign in 2015 was an improvement over 2014. They went from 73 wins to 76. So what does that mean for 2016? Well, there's a couple new faces in the infield, second and third base exclusively. And there are rumors that the Sox are still interested in adding an outfielder. But what about that pitching staff? Ha! So many questions for the Southsiders who report to camp later this month. Joining me tonight, Rick Hahn, the general manager for the Chicago White Sox. Rick, thanks for taking some time out tonight.
No, absolutely. Thanks for having me, Justin.
So let's start. You know, there's been a lot of talk about you adding to the White Sox team, or rumors flying around outfielders. Are you looking to add depth through free agency to the outfield?
You know, there has been a ton of rumors for the last several weeks, and I think that's probably a little bit of a ripple effect of the fact that we're trying to be as diligent as we can not to leave any stone unturned as we head into spring training here. And if there's a possibility of getting better, whether it's in the outfield, the infield, the pitching staff, you can know that we've had at least one, if not multiple, conversations with certain targets. The fact is we did have a lot of optimism around this club a year ago at this time, given the changes we made last offseason. Obviously, the year did not play out anywhere close to not only the way we thought it was going to, but the way much of baseball anticipated how we were going to play. So we went out and made the additions you referenced with Todd Frazier at third and Brett Laurie at second, and upgraded what we feel from an offensive standpoint, our catching situation.
Yeah.
And we feel like we're in a better position today than we were a year ago. But in all candor, we don't feel like we're done. We feel like there's additional upgrade or upgrades that can potentially be made. And until opening day or until we make those moves, we're gonna stay on it looking to get better.
Does it frustrate you? I mean, in this day and age with all the media and the social media being able to attach the White Sox to so many different free agents, and whether or not that's actually true, if that's the agent's work or if that's a reporter just sort of, you know, speculating. Does it frustrate you the way the media has the White Sox attached to, it seems like, every single free agent that's out there?
You know, yes and no. From a trying to be cognizant of the world we live in and respectful of those professionals who cover this club and the fans who are passionate about it. Like, I get it. It's interesting. It's provocative. It keeps you warm thinking of summer through a cold winter. And if I weren't in the position I'm in right now, I'd be following it on Twitter or whatever social media I preferred as diligently as everyone else is who cares about the Sox. From a White Sox general manager standpoint, yeah, it's frustrating. It because a lot of the time it's inaccurate, simply because obviously sources are imperfect, or their information is imperfect at least, and we're not in a position to really respond. I think we're far, far more effective when people don't know exactly what we're up to. The fact of the matter is not only some of the targets over the last several years, but specifically some that we converted on this offseason were coveted by other clubs within our division. And having them know that we were lurking on them, if they had, was only going to make acquiring them more difficult.
Right.
So from a ability to get work done standpoint, it's frustrating. From realizing this is the world we're now in and that it's interesting to Sox fans who care about the club, I get it. It's just reality now.
You know, as a Sox fan, one of the things last year that was frustrating from an offensive standpoint, you guys put together quite a free agent haul, bringing in Melky, mm-hmm. bringing in Adam LaRoche, others who were going to make this a dynamite offensive lineup. That didn't necessarily come to fruition. And then on top of it, you know, at times on the field, the defense was pretty atrocious. Like, you mm-hmm. had a lot of problems and shuffling people left and right and all over the place. Talk about how you improved on the defensive side of the ball.
Yeah, you know, when we went out, I have to say you're correct with your initial assessment that the biggest issue we had was the run scoring. When we went out to improve that this offseason, though, we wanted to remain aware of the fact that we did have some defensive struggles. The fact of the matter is if you're scoring 5, 6, 7 runs a night versus 2, 3, 4 runs a night, you can tolerate some of those occasional defensive miscues. But the way our offense put our entire club, our pitching staff, our defense in the position where we were scrapping through every game, we had so many one-run losses that every little defensive miscue was magnified,
right.
made things difficult. So when we went out this year, the number one goal was to upgrade the offense, and then we feel like we've done that with the additions of Frazier and Laurie and Navarro Avila, not to mention some of the expected bounce back from some of those additions from from last offseason that you referenced that have mm-hmm. track records of being solid offensive contributors. At the same time, we couldn't just turn a blind eye to the defense. And when having essentially three quarters of a new infield with Frazier, Saladino, and Laurie from third, short, and second, we feel we're going to be a lot stronger in that regard as well. Todd's one of the finer all-around third basemans in the game. He's more known for, you know, his home run derby triumphs as well as his offensive prowess, but he's a very solid defensive player, and Saladino's just a smart old-school baseball player who's going to pick up the ball and make the smart play and get the outs as we need in the infield. And Laurie's another guy who's not only a good all-around player, but brings energy and we think a little element that was missing last year.
All right, Rick, let me ask you the hard questions now.
Okay. I'm ready.
this is the one that, as a Sox fan, you know, the team has been starting slow. Aprils have not been that great under Coach Ventura. The problem means that there's a lot of catch-up that has to happen. There's just been a tremendous amount of anticipation for this team that falls short. What are you doing to make sure that the Sox start fast? And if they don't start fast, are we going to continue to hear, you know, you're going to continue to hear the chorus from White Sox fans is it the manager? So the question right. for me is just like, what do you do to safeguard about starting fast? And if you don't start fast and you find yourself 6, 7, 8 games back to the Royals or the Tigers, that's not good for the White Sox.
No, that's not good for anybody. And the fact is you're 100% right about the way we've gotten out of the gate the last few years. And it's even with, I think, having the best or second best record in baseball last year between June 30th and July 30th right. leading up to the trade deadline, we had dug ourselves such a hole that even once we were playing up to or perhaps even beyond our true ability, we just left ourselves too much of a uphill battle for the rest of the season. So we've been talking about this going back to, I'd say, probably August, about ways to put us at least in the best position to succeed early in the season, whether that's from a different use of the roster composition, whether we have more pitching or less pitching or better platoon options for Robin heading into the year so he's able to play matchups from day one. Is something we've discussed, but we've also talked about the importance of spring training and the fact that from day one of this year, not only are we going to be focused on the traditional fundamentals that you hear and see clubs do every spring, but prioritizing doing things right and winning ball games early. I think you're probably going to see our core group, our opening day lineup, so to speak, playing more as a unit together earlier in spring, whether it's 7 or 10 days prior to the end of the season, as opposed to just the final 2 or 3 days, so that they can develop some sort of rhythm. You'll probably see some veteran guys playing a little deeper in the games earlier in camp. And again, the win-loss record in spring has proven not to have a correlation to in-season right. win-loss record. At the same time, we want to make sure the guys are getting enough reps and we're playing the game the way we want it to be played early enough in spring so that when we enter the regular season, it's a matter of habit and routine. Let's put it this way. The expectations are a lot higher this spring, in part because we know how important it is to get out of the gate Good. Quick.
You know, last year you were helped with the fan base was electrified because it was a 10-year anniversary of the World Series. You had a lot of festivities. There was a lot of buzz around White Sox baseball, even when you weren't winning on the field. This year, that's all gone. You know, and you look to the track record, you know, and beyond the playoff in 2008 against the Rays, you know, the White Sox have been absent from playoff baseball. When does that become an issue for the organization that, you know, you're seeing a bigger drought than maybe that you'd like?
Well, it's an issue for me every day, frankly. I mean, it has been too long. We had, you know, we were in a position in 2012 where up until about 2 weeks till the end of the season, we were in first place and it looked like we were going to be able to get back there. And in 2010, we had a competitive club as well. But the reality is that there hasn't been enough winning for any of our tastes, whether it's Jerry, Kenny, myself, the players, the staff in recent years here. Now, when you look at the nature of where we were a few years ago and the nature of the game right now, in 2013, we were a 99 loss team. Traditionally, go through the process of putting yourself back in playoff contention from that sort of bottoming out level, it does tend to take in some instances, 5 years, in some instances, even longer. We've decided to approach it based on the fact that we started this process with guys like Chris Sale and Jose Quintana under control, and we're able to quickly add guys like Jose Abreu and Adam Eaton, Carlos Rodon to the mix, and now Todd Frazier. We've approached it as we're going to try to take as much advantage of the growth of this core as they go through the prime of their careers to get ourselves into playoff contention and back to winning playoff games as quickly as possible, as opposed to stripping things down and going through that sort of 5 to 7 year total rebuild. That said, it doesn't make us any less impatient to get back there. And we feel like we're in a position right now, even without additional, even if we're not able to convert on any additional targets between now and opening day, that we're back in a position to contend in what should be a very competitive division.
Does it change the fact at all, you know, how you approach your team, building your team, or the idea of winning when the World Series winner is in the division? The Royals are in the division. Does it change the way you approach your ball club?
Not entirely. It does. It's a real factor because of the fact, and they've been good for a few years now. And you know, those who have seen how that team was put together and how they've grown through the minors and what they've been able to develop over the last several years in Kansas City, you knew they were going to be good and you knew they were coming, just like Minnesota's on the upswing now. Part of the equation in deciding whether it's time to go for it or how realistic of a chance you have to win is obviously looking at what you're competing against, you know, 18, 19 times a year in your division and how you stack up. So it's absolutely a consideration. At the same time, we're in a division with several clubs that have the ability to either beat each other up or get on a hot streak and open up a little bit of space, and we feel we're one of those clubs. And you know, I do think in the last several years we've seen, not just in the AL Central, but you know, throughout baseball, the addition of a second wild card creates a whole other opportunity for clubs to get in there. And those opportunities can sometimes go for 85, 86 wins, which if you have a good club that has some growth capabilities in it and the ability potentially to add to it at the deadline, that opens up the opportunity for the postseason to a lot of different clubs. And as I said, we feel we're positioned to be right in the square of that mix for the division and the postseason.
Last question for you. You know, you mentioned expectations, or, you know, how you guys were, the preview last season was that you were going to be better than it ended up.
Mm-hmm.
Which do you prefer? Because the division is going to be Royals, Twins, probably Tigers, then you guys when it comes to the forecast. Do you prefer sort of the underperforming expectation, or do you prefer at the beginning of the season to be, you know, with a target on your back?
You know what? It's funny because there's enough opinions out there every year that you could really position yourself as everything. We had one more advanced sabermetric website named Fangraphs last year had us pegged for 77 wins, despite the fact that, you know, places like Fox Sports and others were predicting us to not only win the division, but to win the World Series. This year, as you said, there's some places that perhaps will have us in third or fourth place in their prognostications. Fangraphs has us in first. There's a little bit of something for everyone out there, and I think that's probably as indicative of the fact that the division's going to be really competitive as much as it is about our current talent and the growth we have. At the end of the day, it's probably the old axiom is it's probably easier to be the hunter than the hunted, and given that we do have the World Series champion in this division, you know, they're the ones with the target on their back. We're the ones who probably have something to prove, not only to White Sox fans, but the rest of baseball and ourselves, given the fact that we didn't live up to our expectations last year. And I think I like going to camp with a little bit of an edge and guys feeling like, you know, we need to show the world that last year was not who we are.
Oh, we like to hear that. Rick Hahn, general manager at Chicago White Sox. Rick, good luck this season. We hope to check in with you regularly. Thanks for joining us tonight.
You bet. Thank you, Justin. Take care.